T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. I don't even know if I can say that after this weekend of sports, but we're going to try to make it a happy Monday because we're dealing with injuries, championships, and, well, just not a whole lot of good arrests. We're going to get to basically all of it coming up in the course of the 4 hours that we have in front of us. A lot to get to, and it's Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. We have Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020 Zoom Work Behind the Glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight. And again, we got a lot to get to. We're going to cover a lot of what we saw happen this weekend, a lot of the what I'm going to just paint is negative repercussions that happened before Cleveland sports, because that is the reality of the weekend that I think we're walking out of right now. Listen, Browns weren't on the field, so if for once they're not the ones in the line of fire here for negative things happening, it's just about everybody else. And we're going to start with what I think is the most negative thing to happen in Cleveland sports over the weekend, and that would be a one man by the name of Jose Ramirez. The broken hammock bone is it's a downer. It's going to be something that takes a course of, I assume, probably somewhere between 4 to 8 weeks. So you're talking about a month or 2 months without Jose Ramirez. The likely timetable, although the Guardians have not put one on themselves, that is just the typical return table for an injury like this. But I'll be honest, like I see the injury happen. I'm looking at it. My immediate response pretty much turns into Guardians might be done. Like it is, and it's not even a logical thought with the way that Jose has played this year, because he's been, I mean, fine. He's stolen over 20 bases already. He is obviously still, I mean, a king of production and driving in runs, but obviously just hasn't lived up to the expectations that Jose Ramirez is expected to live up to year after year, season after season, that we expect him to end the year being one of the best hitters in baseball. He had not ascended to that level yet this year, and the Guardians have still found a way to stay above 500 and stay as a competitive baseball team. But this is obviously a major blow to what we're looking at right now and where the Guardians go for the next month or two. It's a complete shakeup, and I'd be lying to you if I walked in here today and told you I'm not that worried, still a ton of faith in the Guardians to push forward. Because there's, I mean, a multitude of things this impacts on this side of the team. You look at it and talk about the power that Jose brings. You look at it and talk about leadership from Jose. Obviously, I mean, Jose's never a gold glover, but you talk about a guy who's consistently out there every single day playing third base. This team loses a lot on the offensive side, you know, at the plate. And it's the place where I've looked at them and said that they've probably struggled the most. And I just don't know that I can look at this team and sit here and say that I am going to be confident in their ability to hit the ball, their ability to score runs moving forward. And it would be more of an issue if I thought this team was garbage. They're not. They're going to be able to pick it up in different places. But we're also sitting here having a conversation about a team that is not perfect when it comes to their ability to pitch on the mound either. We have seen a decrease in starting pitching, especially Joey Cantillo has not been as reliable as he was to start the year. You have seen more blowups from guys like Tanner Bibee, Gavin Williams, even Parker Messick having, you know, a fair share of their rough days. The Guardians have needed the offense to kind of draw them out of a slump that they've actively been in. Obviously, we're sitting here and you've watched them win two games against the Tigers. Also dealing with a little bit of rain out, they have a couple of days off to formulate a plan, figure out where they're going. But the offense in saying that's the unit that needs to pick it up and then take away the most productive and the most reliable hitter that you have there is going to cause a major scare and for what actually happens down the line. And Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, was on earlier today with Ken and Anthony, and he talked about the issues of a Jose Ramirez injury that it presents to that Guardians lineup.
You know, the challenge with this specific injury, it has a good recovery rate. It's not going to be something where, you know, it's season ending most likely. So he'll be back for the final playoff push. So that's all good. But you just never know. Like anytime you get involved with stuff around the hands and wrists with a power hitter, you know, you don't know how quickly the power comes back. So, you know, he could be back in as you said, 5 weeks. But, you know, will the power be there? You just don't know. There's just so many different outcomes with this particular procedure. And he's had it himself. Last time this happened, he came back very quickly. And they were in the playoff push in 2024. But then, you know, once they were out of it, they just shut him down as a matter of course. So, you know, Gabriel Arias gets rushed back in the interim. And then, you know, they have flexibility there with him and Schneeman. But it's obviously, you saw the lineup yesterday before it got postponed. You know, it's not the same without Jose Ramirez in the middle of that lineup.
It's not even close to the same. And the fact that the immediate replacement, how am I going to bounce back from Jose being injured is, oh, we'll just activate Gabriel Arias and get him on the team and it will be fine. Guys, Gabby wasn't exactly hitting like a stud. Okay. Like if we're not just a remake it, and you're not going to be able to remake Jose Ramirez, but this is a point where I turn around and look at it and it's like, yeah, belief in the Guardians' ability to continue to succeed, something they already haven't been doing as of really recently. I think it takes a pretty sizable dip for, you know, the next month or two, whenever it takes Jose to come back. And obviously, you know, Anthony's hitting right there on this idea that not only are you lacking a power in the lineup, but you're also lacking a power potentially on the comeback of Jose Ramirez and him might not, you know, being able to recover and be the same player immediately this year. That's a problem for a lineup that lacks severe power, for a lineup that, I mean, is slugging worse than they were all of last year. And we talked about all last year how they did not have enough power hitting. You might, even when you get Jose back, still not have the ability to get normal production out of Jose Ramirez. It becomes, once again, a major problem for this team. I don't know how you make up for this. I don't know how I'm supposed to continue to believe in this team because you are now left without, I mean, somebody individually to put your faith in every time he steps to the plate. And listen, I like Chase DeLauder. I like Travis Bezzana. Reality is, those are two rookies. I don't have that same faith in both those guys to come up in the frequency and with the execution that Jose does every single time he steps to the plate. And I just don't think you have enough riding on the outside of the lineup. I can't believe in this team to continue to score runs. And one player does not have that impact on most teams in baseball. The reality is, when it comes to the Guardians, Jose has that impact. How many big moments does the guy step up into where you just watch him come through, watch him be able to put up runs and pull the Guardians out of a slump or pull the Guardians out of a hole? Only Jose could have done that, and you trust him in every one of those moments. You don't have that guy anymore. And it would not surprise me if this team goes through a hitting slump, continues to go through a hitting slump. I just, you know, even Anthony Castrovince, who we just heard, he pointed to the lineup that was supposed to go out yesterday prior to the postponement. It's like, yeah, that lineup does not strike fear in anybody, and it doesn't strike confidence, at least it shouldn't, in just about any Guardians fan. And I don't think it means that they're absolutely shot. Like, I mean, the AL is so weak this year. The AL Central in particular is even weaker, you know, inside of this year and has been for the last couple. But of course, you know, the Guardians can still make a push. If they can float somewhere near 500 while Jose is out, they're going to be okay. They're going to be in the mix for a playoff spot and very, I mean, potentially in the mix in the AL Central. But again, that's what it boils down to. Can you actually stay playing 500 baseball? Like, who becomes the star for this team? Who becomes the guy that you can actually point to be a leader? And listen, if you're the New York Yankees, again, Aaron Judge goes down, it's like they might not have a star necessarily to put in front of your face and say that's the new face of the Yankees while he's down. But you have so much confidence across the parity of the lineup, the parity of the pitching staff to go out and say, yeah, I mean, I believe in those guys. Right? They can still find a way to score runs and win baseball games. I don't believe in this lineup 1 through 9. There are several spots, at least offensively, that I can't trust. Catcher spot is a given every single day. Cannot be trusted. Right? I mean, almost the outfield as its entirety, I don't think can really be that trusted. So I want to be in a positive mindset. I want to continue to think this team is just fine. But where am I actually supposed to get that belief? How am I supposed to sit here and be confident in the idea that, oh, I mean, the Guardians will still be able to drive in runs. They'll still be able to hit for as much power as they're hitting for right now. And the reality is, again, that you cannot. You cannot miss Jose Ramirez. You cannot believe in this team in the exact same way. We are left on hope. We are left on the idea that hopefully these guys step up, hopefully with more opportunities for some younger guys, you can actually pull this through. But that's where it all comes down to. Like, at this point, Jose goes down, and we're going to have to talk about the trade deadline and where the Guardians head from here. But this seems like a move where, hey, it's Gabriel Arias is back, and that's your replacement. It feels like the type of move where I understand what playing a young guy means, but is there not an inkling to just go through and push a young guy up onto this roster? Is there not any indication that, hey, I mean, maybe there's somebody sitting down there in Columbus right now that could provide a spark to this team? You have several guys in your top 30 and more guys inside of your top 10 who are sitting in Columbus right now that could use the call. I can't speak on a personal level that they're ready, but you go look at what they're doing, you know, down in Columbus, and it looks like, hey, that guy might be ready to face major league pitching. Might be worth the opportunity. And if you can find a stud in the process, you can find another guy to help out this lineup, it feels like the perfect time to do it. I'm sorry, unfortunately, pushing Stuart Fairchild down back to AAA or DFA him or whatever it takes, probably not going to be the difference maker in whether or not this team's going to make a playoff run. Stuart Fairchild won't be the difference maker. I'd rather put my faith into somebody young, but the Guardians have not yet showed the willingness to do that. And I think they probably should. 216-474-0092, or you can get to us on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Where does your belief stand on the Guardians today after a Jose Ramirez injury that they can actually stay somewhere in the mix? Plus, a lot of good stuff coming up for you guys. We have the station buzz, the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, coming your way at 7:40. Daniel Oyafusi, ESPN, covering the Browns. We're going to talk to him coming up at 8 o'clock. Get a grip, as we always do, coming your way at 9, just in time to get us ready for Justin Latta of Locked On Guardians. We're going to talk some baseball with Justin coming up at 9:20. Plus, we're going to bring in McKenzie in the 10 o'clock hour, another edition of 15 Words or Less. And got to bring Jackson to end off the show for a little recap of series over. Figure out how Jax feels about how he did across the NHL and NBA playoffs. But right now, again, 216-474-0092. Where does your belief stand on the Guardians today following the Jose Ramirez injury? And a little talk about what they should be doing at the deadline, also coming your way in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys here until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. We're asking at 216-474-0092. Where does your belief stand on the Guardians today following the Jose Ramirez injury? One of my favorite things to do this at these times is go to our good friend on the board over here, Jax, who Guardians fan, but not a Guardians diehard. Kind of pick and choose, right? This yeah. affair, like pick and choose yeah. when to watch, when to really care.
100%, yeah.
Where's your belief at today, Jax? It's
pretty dead, Jake.
I can't blame you.
But then again, I do look at it as he wasn't even having that crazy of a season, and they've still been bouncing back between first place, second place in the AL Central with the White Sox. So, like, they're dead.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
They're dead.
No, but this is the best argument, by the way, that you bring up. And I think the fairest argument to push against this is the idea that not only is the AL Central as weak as it is, which we can talk about, because, I mean, if the biggest thing we have to fear right now is the Chicago White Sox, guys, we're in a pretty good spot. All right, like, Chicago's, I mean, much better this year and getting a lot of production out of young hitters, but it's still the Chicago White Sox. They're not going out to win a World Series this year. You can still outplay them across the entirety of what's left of the year. And they certainly, with young hitters, have the opportunity to cool off a lot. And obviously, we're talking about Detroit still pretty far down there. KC's still pretty far down there. So it's like the teams who you would legitimately, respect. And it's not to say I don't respect the White Sox. I respect them a hell of a lot more this year than I ever have. Almost across the entirity of my lifetime. I mean, it's close. Beginning year is not so bad, but as time has gone on, they have not been good. But even the American League as a whole, like, you have to be a top six team right now in the American League of the MLB. Guys, it's not a hard task. Like, to slip into the playoffs right now is why any of this actually still matters. You're just not that far out of it. I mean, obviously, you know, the Yankees and the Rays right now are absolute shoo-ins. The Guardians are not far off of it. They are currently tied among the top of the AL Central. And you have one team over 500 in the American League West. Like, that's three. You're right now the fifth seed in the American League. And the closest teams you have to you are, a couple of the A's and the Rangers are both a game under 500 as you sit six above. And the Blue Jays are four games under 500. You are still in a fine position. So if you tell me you're confident because, you know, the American League and the American League Central aren't very strong and the Guardians just have to float and stay alive because they play in a bad division, you have a fair argument. Like, you're in a great spot right now. If you were in the National League this year, you might as well just sell off all the aging pieces of your team and get young, get ready for next year. That's just the reality of where we're at. Guardians would be, we're looking at almost every team across the NL Central over 500. Even the Mets have climbed back to be seven games under 500 at the bottom of the National League East. And I mean, you have three competitive teams over 500 in the National League West. Like, you'd be cooked. You'd be done. There would be no chance of coming back in the National League. But the American League, you are doing just fine. You are not in a bad spot whatsoever. I just don't know outside of that. Like, if my faith in this team actually wanting to compete is they can go win a World Series, that's where some of the hang-up is, because I don't know the Jose Ramirez I get back. And I'm hopefully, you know, getting regular Jose. And by the end of the year, by the time we get to what would be the playoff push and the playoffs, I'm hoping Jose would be back to fully healthy, ready to go. It's not a lingering injury. It's not one that's going to cause you years and years of your career. It's just going to sideline you for the time being, and then might affect, as Anthony Castrovince brought up in the clip we played in the first segment, maybe a little bit of power as you come back, but you'll eventually return to form. I just, with the timing of this, it makes it really interesting. Because as the Guardians were on a hot streak, and you know, some people out there, including people on this station, were talking about World Series for the Guardians, the assumption was this team's going to be buyers at the deadline. Like, they have the makings of a really good team. They have the young pieces in place. And if you add a couple of really nice pieces, both to the pitching staff and maybe a power bat or two, you'd be in a really good spot. But with Jose down and the future being uncertain, that's where the questions at the deadline really come about. Because I don't know that if you're the Guardians, you can reinvest into this thing and just assume, hey, we're going to turn it around. We're going to make the playoffs. We have seen the Guardians invest before. The only time in recent memory we actually have this is the 2020 or the 2016 deadline, obviously, when you go to the World Series, and then going into the 2017 season is when we have seen the Guardians invest. Cleveland baseball has put money into the team thinking we have a shot. I don't know that you just put money into this team because they have a hope, because they have the starting pieces. The clear argument you would make against it is, well, all the pieces that we have here that are going to be really competitive are basically back next year, right? All of the main core pieces, the fundamental pieces that aren't going to be your rotational players, are going to be back again next season. So why wouldn't I wait for them to be fully healthy, have hopefully a full run of it, and then boast this team when I see them more competitive at the deadline, more healthy at the deadline, and actually having a way to go? Again, that's the way that I think the Guardians might see it. That's the way that I can understand looking at it if you're, you know, managing this roster. Again, we go back to Anthony Castrovince on this morning, and he actually thought quite the opposite, and the Guardians should be all gung-ho.
I do generally think that this is a year to kind of chase some magic, you know, because you don't know what the future holds. It's so up in the air that I think it puts greater value on the present, and I think they're set up from a farm system perspective to go and make an impact trade. It's just that, you know, the trade deadline is going to bear what it bears. The market's going to bear what it bears. And as I said, it's going to be a seller's market because it's so crowded. So that could work against them ultimately. But I do think, like, in a vacuum, not knowing who's going to be available and when, this looks like a year to go for it, you know. The other X factor just being, can they survive the next 6 weeks without Jose?
And obviously that's the big part of this. But I think it's fair to look at basically every deadline at this point moving forward and just say it's going to be a seller's market. It is a seller's market. We have more teams making the playoffs than ever. We have nearly 50% of the league getting pushed through to the postseason. So yeah, the market's going to be a seller's market. It's congested at the top, and it's commonly going to be congested at the top. Very rarely are you going to look at six teams and go, you know, by the time we get to the deadline, those six teams are really going to be the teams in the mix. Like, no, there's probably 10 to, potentially plus teams that are going to be in the mix. Like, even the New York Mets right now, sitting seven games out, are still in the mix to make the playoffs. So I don't know that you're ever going to walk into a great situation to buy for this team. And I don't know that you're ever going to walk into a better American League situation, where, again, your pathway to the playoffs is relatively simple. You get 6 weeks into this thing and you still feel like you're in a pretty good spot. I mean, your pathway is to be a top six team, which at this point does not look all that difficult. I think you can still get there. Obviously, you know, the trade deadline comes in at the very beginning of August, so that gives you right around this time frame to get there. You have about 6 weeks exactly about when Jose would be back. This gives you a great window into, okay, if Jose's coming back, we'll say in the next 2 weeks, we'll put it on the long end. It takes 8 weeks for you to recover off of this. All right, I mean, what's left for you? Did this team completely sink? Because obviously at that point, you're not going to be buyers at the deadline. I would say if you're still hovering at this spot, then yeah, absolutely you should be. You get Jose back.
I don't know what argument you have if you're still hovering to go out and not do it. But the argument then would be, if you're looking at this team, we're talking about a seller's market, and that's going to work against you as a team who's not going to spend a ton of money. You're not going to be able to outbid the Yankees and the Dodgers and a lot of these big market teams that are sitting here looking to add to their team. The argument would be, go out and make a move now. And again, I understand where the hangup is, but I think where you're at in the American League Central, I mean, what do you have to do to be uncompetitive, not only in the division, but in the league? Like, to push yourself into a spot where it looks like you don't even have a chance. You're not competing among the top six teams, which means one team has to go through. A team that's currently under 500, you would have to fall currently seven games essentially behind to fall out of a playoff spot. And it would be one of these teams, either in the American League East or the American League West, to pop out and make a massive run. And to play that bad of baseball over this stretch would still be surprising. Like, I don't think losing Jose takes you all of a sudden into being a team that loses three out of every four. It's detrimental. It's hard to have full confidence in this team from a World Series perspective, from a go through and do something in the playoffs to win more games than you lose. But I don't know that it's that hard to ask this team to win. I mean, one out of every three even isn't the worst result. I think you'd still stay competitive around there. I think you'd like to play 500 baseball. I don't think that's out of the cards to just play 500 baseball where this team's at. It might be a little optimistic, but I think that you can get to that type of situation. You can get to that spot inside of the deadline to feel comfortable with it. So
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, if you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
I think that you take some of what Anthony had to say and you reapply this to the idea that how many years are you going to walk into a situation as great as this? And how long are you going to wait to capitalize? Because if you're talking about health and waiting on Jose Ramirez, that's great. Like, yeah, I would prefer the team to be entirely healthy before I invest in, before I dedicate all the money. That is playing it safe by every single metric. I'm sure every GM would like to look away at their team and go, oh, well, yeah, we're healthy this year. We're playing well. Obviously, we invest now. That's not the situation you commonly find yourselves in. If you're not the Los Angeles Dodgers, you don't get to every single deadline pretty healthy, pretty successful, and just go, now is the time to buy farther in. You're probably not looking at American League this week, and you are going to walk into more and more situations where you say this team needs to go for it. You say this team needs to actually, I mean, have something to go for this year. I don't want to walk away. I can't count on the health of, I mean, certainly Chase DeLauder. Can't count on it from Travis Pezzana. He's dealt with injuries in the minor leagues, even though they haven't been the same injuries over and over again, more so that DeLauder has suffered. But I think now you're in a pretty positive spot. Okay, Jose will be back this year, most likely at some point. This team does need to float above water. They do need to make it to the playoffs. And I think you have a legitimate run. The Yankees beat up on you. It doesn't mean the Yankees are 10 times the team you are. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe you couldn't hang with the Rays and you couldn't hang with the Mariners. It's one of those few years where you don't have a top dog that has just spent a ton of money, that has an unbeatable lineup, that has an unbeatable pitching staff. You would think this is the year that you actually bear down and you go for it. And I think the Guardians should take that into account. I would like to get ahead of the market. I would like to get ahead of the deadline, right? Actually make something happen a little bit earlier. And I understand that's not typically the way the team operates, but you don't have much to sell and you could affect your team in multiple different places on buying. This team still needs pitching. They could use the help. This team absolutely needs a power bat. If you get out early on the market and feel comfortable with being able to land one of those guys, I would say just absolutely go for it. Right? Even at the deadline, if you have to give up a lot, how many years is a team that kind of meddles in the middle, doesn't go all in, not calling up their prospects every 2 seconds, not going full young team like the White Sox are right now, are you going to find yourself in a great spot to compete, in a great spot to legitimately go out there and try to win a World Series? The team needs help. Whether it's for this year, whether it's for the next 2 years, you are going to need additional help. I'm not saying roadblock some of the young players, but also how many young players are you going to continue to say, we can't roadblock, and then not call up, not give the opportunities to? You have to jump on the opportunity when it's there. 216-474-0092. Are the Guardians still buyers at the deadlines in your eyes, despite the Jose Ramirez injury? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, we're going to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. With the Station Buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Daniel Oyufusi, ESPN, set to join us coming up at 8 o'clock in about 17 minutes here. But before we get there, we got to take a listen to some of the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. Let's go ahead and get started with the Station Buzz. All right, we kick things off and continue to talk a little bit of Guardians. Anthony Castrovinz once again, MLB.com on this morning. And talked a little bit more about the playoff chances and an injury that he thought actually would have been worse than Jose Ramirez.
It might be like a 10% dip. The saving grace, of course, is the division. And, I mean, the Tigers just keep losing games. And every game they lose, the Tarek Skubal conversation increases, you know, for the trade deadline. And they're always, you know, you always feel like you're two good weeks in this playoff format, you know, you're 2 good weeks away from being in it in this American League. You know, their greatest threat right now is the White Sox, surprisingly so. And anytime it's a young team, there's vagaries and performance that can happen, but there's also just momentum that can build with belief. I feel worse about the Guardians and their chances that this is a major injury on the pitching side, because they're still ultimately pitching oriented. They have some flexibility and depth in the farm system on the offensive side to just kind of piece it together in the interim. But I worry about this team more from, like, if they have a major injury on the pitching front, you know, what's the reserve status down on the farm is not as strong as it once was.
And listen, I think you can look at where the pitching staff is in the farm system and just say you're in a really bad spot. Like, you got some guys, but they haven't really made their way to Columbus. You don't feel confident. Like, if you're backup pitching right now, again, is Logan Allen, and that's about as far as it goes. Like, that's not a great spot to be in. Logan Allen has not pitched well in Columbus. He has not pitched well in his time in the majors, especially over last year. So I get that you're not in a strong spot, and you do have young guys. The problem is the Guardians haven't gone to the young guys. Like, again, it's, well, you might as well just activate Gabby and put him in there and have him play third base, and this is going to be okay. And maybe that changes. I mean, this is immediate, like, one-day reaction. to having an injury, and those are the roster moves you make, and Gabby is, I mean, at this point, we assume healthy. But I'm going to need more of an effort, more of a push to actually go out there and make something happen, to try to buy into what this team can be, to try to actually push yourself to be better. And I just have not seen that out of them up to this point. So I don't know what I'm supposed to be buying into. I don't know what I'm supposed to be excited for, because they're not willing to make the necessary pushes to go for the young guys, to actually make a push into this team, having a chance to continue to be great. Because if you just keep rolling out the lineup you have right now, again, runs are not going to come across the board in the volume that you need them to. The pitching staff, for the love of God, could use a little bit of help. I mean, I can't just count on, hopefully the other team doesn't score three, or else we're heading to extras, and then the offense better show up. That is as good as a, I think, risk, a good of a guess that you're getting right now onto what the Guardians' offense is, and that's with Jose. I don't know how much I trust them without Jose to continue that type of play. So I am going to need you to actually see you push for something, whether that be call up the young guys, or that be make a move. But that's why the Jose injury feels so much more important to me. That's why it feels like it has more of a gap. But yeah, you can call up the young guys, but if you don't, then it really doesn't make a difference. You're still fighting with nothing. Where I think a pitching injury probably would cause you to, you might not even have a guy to call up, but at least you have somebody of, I think, maybe more value, and it's a guy that pitches every 5 days. Like, you're still going to be in an okay spot. We have seen teams go through plenty of starting pitching injuries, which the Guardians have not, and still just find a way to be okay right now. All right, Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, on the station earlier today, and he talked about the Cavs maybe needing to learn a little bit of a lesson following these NBA Finals.
I think the thing that they should learn is that they're just not on that level. I think the Cavs have to understand that they're not on the level of the New York Knicks. They're not on the level of the San Antonio Spurs. They're far away, and they need to do things to get themselves closer, because those teams aren't going to come back to the pack. It's up to the rest of the pack, whether it's Cleveland, Indiana, Boston, whoever it may be that you're talking about, to try and get closer to them and get on their level. So I think the Cavs should have had an understanding watching the Knicks, seeing how great they were, seeing how connected they were, seeing how versatile they were, seeing the different styles that they were able to play. All of those things should resonate with the Cavs, and they should take away, hey, we're not on their level, and we have to do things this offseason to get on that level.
I mean, not on the level is the way I would use to describe what I watched from the Cavs in this postseason run. Like, at no point did the team seem like they were perfectly connected, like they were all on the same page. Never did it feel like this team was in any way unbeatable. In the way that we watched the Knicks constantly make comebacks, stay the course, and erase massive leads, it's like, had the Cavs gone down 20 at any point in these playoffs, you're pretty much like, yeah, they're not coming back from that. Like, they don't have the individual superstar to take over this game, because Donovan was not playing at that type of a level for, I mean, almost the entirety of the playoffs. Nobody was for the Cavs, but it's also like, I just didn't see consistent play from them game out of game. And you can't expect to win a title, to be a team to come out of the East, if you can't bring me a consistent product. But yeah, the Spurs obviously did not play a very good series against the Knicks. The Knicks played a much better series, but I still felt like I was getting relatively consistent play out of them. It just wasn't consistently good. It wasn't good enough to go through and actually win games. But we saw throughout the playoffs that team, I mean, walk in and as young as they are, bring a more consistent product than the Cavs did. That's a problem, because Chris is right. The rest of the team is, or the rest of the league is not coming back down to the Cavs level. They're only getting better, or they're staying where they're at. And the Cavs finding a way to reach that level right now almost seems unreachable. Like, I don't know what way they're going to find a chance to get there, but it's going to come through making moves. Like, you can't just run this lineup out and expect something different. I'm not buying into, oh, James Harden didn't have enough time to connect with the players here. James Harden had plenty of time. Okay, I watched him function perfectly fine in the offense in the regular season in some playoff games. It was just inconsistent play. It was inconsistent play out of Donovan. It was an inconsistent play out of Evan Mobley. Like, you have to show up and be the same player game in and game out. And that's what the Cavs not only lacked this year, but have lacked for the last, like, five. I don't get the same team. I don't get the same players game in and game out. And it feels like I'm either getting a great Cavs team, or I am getting a team that has me on the edge of my seat because they can't do anything right, but somehow they're still fighting to play in games. Again, this year, and I think the result of this year, especially the way you got eliminated, should go through to prove to you you're not on that same level and you need to make some massive differences. Chris has it all right. All right, Joe DeLeon, A to Z Sports, on as he will be every Monday with Afternoon Drive, and he talked about the Browns quarterback competition.
Admittedly, I was kind of surprised how quickly the reporting indicated that Deshaun was leading the race, and it seemed like it was like a more large margin based on how everybody was talking about it. I don't think it does, because, you know, we're talking about a quarterback in Shador who's in his second year compared to a player who's been around for a long time. And I think that as much as Deshaun didn't play very well last time he suited up for the Browns, he still at one point was an MVP caliber quarterback. There was nothing, you know, fake about the hype that was around him. And I think that Shador absolutely has the opportunity to potentially do some damage in this quarterback battle. So it doesn't really surprise me that he's starting to close the gap. I still think that there's a possibility that he ends up maybe starting some games towards the end of the year.
I mean, listen, Shador should be closing the gap in this. And if you're continuing to do that, I've said for weeks on weeks, and by that I mean two of them, basically, that Shador being close in this and having closed the gap is the good thing for Shador. As Joe pointed there, Sean has been in the league and he's been in it for a while. You expect him to come out with the lead, especially early on, before the pads are on, everything like that. If Shador's showing that much progress, even if you know, Deshaun's not playing well, and that's a big part of this, to be on that level definitely tells you he has a chance in this quarterback competition, tells you that he's going to have an opportunity to push forward. And speaking of the competition, is going to be something we talk about coming up closer to 8:20 after we get done talking to Daniel Ifusi. But Emory Hunt, CBS Sports, also on with Afternoon Drive today, and he still thinks 10 wins is possible for the Browns this season.
What made me go through the schedule and look at it again without Myles Garrett a part of the team was the fact that they got Jared Verse. And I felt like, okay, yeah, Verse is not Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is an all-time great, future first ballot Hall of Famer, Cleveland Ring of Honor, all of those things. But Jared Verse ain't no slouch either. And so when you look at what he can do, and if you think about it from Verse's perspective, like, man, I thought I was entrenched in L.A. with how I played and what we did together as a group, and they viewed me as, you know, expendable. I'm about to go out here and ball out with the Browns. We might see him get his first double-digit sack season as a pro based on what he just went through in terms of getting moved for a guy in Myles Garrett. So I still feel like the Browns have enough offensively and defensively to where 10 wins is definitely possible.
See, like, I don't want to put you down in the dumps and tell you it's not possible, because I do think the upside of it is that, yeah, if the Jared Verse plays really well, the defense doesn't miss a beat, and you obviously get really good production out of the young guys, like, yeah, of course 10 wins is possible. It's the NFL. 10 wins is possible, like, every single year that you play, almost. You're never getting to 10 wins in 2016 or 2017. That wasn't happening. But most of the teams that you look at year in and year out, you can convince yourself they can get to 10 wins, but a lot of this banking on Jared Verse having a fire lit under him, like, he's been a great player already. He could get to double-digit sacks this season. It's not going to be Miles' production, and even with Miles' production, we've talked about a team that has won 8 games over 2 years. So could they get there? Could the offensive weapons be enough to push them over the edge? Sure, but you're banking on a lot of rookies in second-year and third-year players to come through and be a massive difference maker for you. It's not impossible, but it is difficult to think that every single one of those guys is going to show up and play exceptionally. And that's what it's going to take for this team to get 10 wins. They are built solidly. I don't think they are built perfectly. You need a lot to push this team forward. You need a lot to get this team going and actually turn into a winning football team. I think you have the early makings of it, but that's the thing. You have the early makings of it, not the complete makings of it. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we'll bring another guest onto the station. Daniel Oyafusi, ESPN, going to help us break down the Browns quarterback battle, training camp, and more right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game, when performance and reliability are non-negotiable. MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Tio, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.